Particularly worrying is the manipulation of genes for the creation of children with enhanced characteristics, whether cognitive or physical. Whatever inequalities there may be between individuals in their circumstances, such as wealth, class, health, and so on, we are all born with a basic equality of our human nature, with certain potentialities, certain cognitive, emotional, and physical abilities, and the fundamental disposition, indeed the right, to seek happiness and overcome suffering. Given that genetic technology is bound to remain costly, at least for the foreseeable future, once it is allowed, for a long period it will be available only to a small segment of human society, namely the rich. Thus, society will find itself translating an inequality of circumstance, that is, relative wealth, into an inequality of nature through enhanced intelligence, strength, and other faculties acquired through birth. The ramifications of this differentiation are far-reaching, on social, political, and ethical levels. At the social level, it will reinforce, even perpetuate, our disparities, and it will make their reversal much more difficult. In political matters, it will breed a ruling elite whose claims to power will be invocations of an intrinsic natural superiority. On the ethical level, these kinds of pseudo-nature-based differences can severely undermine our basic moral sensibilities insofar as these sensibilities are based on a mutual recognition of shared humanity. We cannot imagine how such practices could affect our very concept of what it is to be human. When I think about the various new ways of manipulating human genetics, I can't help but feel that there is something profoundly lacking in our appreciation of what it is to cherish humanity. In my native Tibet, the value of a person rests not on physical appearance, not on intellectual or athletic achievement, but on the basic innate capacity for compassion in all human beings. Even modern medical science has demonstrated how crucial affection is for human beings, especially during the first few weeks of life. The simple power of touch is critical for the basic development of the brain. In regard to his or her value as a human being, it is entirely irrelevant whether an individual has some kind of disability, for instance, Down syndrome, or a genetic disposition to develop a particular disease, such as sickle cell anemia, Huntington's chorea, or Alzheimer's. All human beings have an equal value and an equal potential for goodness. To ground our appreciation of the value of a human being on genetic makeup is bound to impoverish humanity because there's so much more to human beings than their genomes. For me, one of the most striking and heartening effects of our knowledge of the genome is the astounding truth that the differences in the genomes of the different ethnic groups around the world are so negligible as to be insignificant. I've always argued that the differences of color, language, religion, ethnicity, and so forth among human beings have no substance in the face of our basic sameness. The sequencing of the human genome has, for me, demonstrated this in an extremely powerful way. It has also helped reinforce my sense of our basic kinship with animals, who share very large percentages of our genome. So it is conceivable, if we humans utilize our newly found genetic knowledge skillfully, it could help foster a greater sense of affinity and unity, not only with our own fellow human beings, but with life as a whole. Such a perspective could also underpin a much more healthy environmental consciousness. In the case of food, if the argument is valid that we need some kind of genetic modification to help feed the world's growing population, then I believe that we cannot simply dismiss this branch of genetic technology. However, if, as suggested by its critics, this argument is merely a front for motives that are primarily commercial, such as producing food that will simply have a longer-lasting shelf life, that can be more easily exported from one side of the world to the other, that is more attractive in appearance and more convenient in consumption, or creating grains and cereals engineered not to produce their own seeds so that farmers are forced to depend entirely upon the biotech companies for seeds, then clearly such practices must be seriously questioned.